You're listening to the So You Can Relate podcast with Joyce and Adefila.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the So You Can Relate podcast. This is Minnesota 8, I think. Is it number 8? I have no idea, but it's not number 10. I know that for sure.
We don't even number the Minnesota.
So. Oh, yeah, we don't even do that. Okay, so ignore me. It's another Minnesota. We're back. We're better, whatever. So today we were scratching our heads trying to think what can we talk about. And I was like, oh, why don't we do our favorite underrated songs by the most popular gospel artists that we know?
Yeah.
So we're going to take you through our lists. One thing about us, we're going to talk about music, full stop. And so we're doing, so Joyce is going to give hers and I'm going to give mine, our favorite underrated songs by Mary Mary, Fred Hammond, Marvin Sapp, Cece Winans, and Kirk Franklin. We've got more than one for each of them because we just couldn't help ourselves. So should we do, like, we'll both do our Mary Marys, then we'll go to the next and the next and the next.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So we'll start with that. Love what it. Is your, or what are your favorite underrated songs by Mary Mary?
Okay, so my first one is called I Sings.
Oh, I love that song.
You know it too.
When I, you know, I know it.
Serious banger.
Yes.
As in, they did it with, what is the guy that they do?
BBJ.
BBJ is rapping in it.
His rap is so good.
A good vibe. And I love the music video online as well.
Oh, yeah, the video.
I had such a nice video online. So it's a good vibe. It's like a feel-good song. And not a lot of people know about that song, to be honest.
Isn't it like the first, like the first song on Thankful or something like that?
Yeah, it's one of the first songs.
It's the first song, yeah.
So it's a really good one. Everyone should go check that out.
Yeah, good song.
I've also remembered this song, yeah, called In the Morning.
In the morning, you'll be alright. You know what I love about that song? It's the violins at the beginning. It's like a good...
It's such a good song. As in...
Oh.
No, and also the video... No. Definitely the video is so good. Like, and they were so young at the time. They must have been like in their early 30s. Like, they looked so beautiful. So love that song. Another one is What a Friend.
What a friend. That song.
I love their rendition of it. And obviously it's an old school one, but I like that version. Their version is a bit different from the original though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Seattle.
Yes, Holy Spirit Rain, like Seattle.
Shout out to my cousins because they put me on that from young. And they were like, Joyce, this song. And I was like, at one point in the song, she's like, Holy Spirit, Rain, like, yeah, overtake my life, like California. I really love that song. And then my last one is This Love.
This Love.
And they sang that with Fred Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
I think those songs are just, Seattle and This Love are similar in that they're just like a nice, slow, mellow vibe.
Yeah.
Really like it.
Yeah. You know, another song that I like by them, it's not on my list, but you know, And I with Kirk Franklin.
No, Mary Mary
And I is a really, really good one too.
Ooh,
and it's got like Kirk Franklin like just ad-libbing in the background, basically, as he always does. So good. But yeah, And
there's
I
actually,
is a good one.
You know that movie Kingdom Come?
Oh, love Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come is such a good movie, and the soundtrack was even better.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
this song that Mary Mary and Kirk Franklin do called Thankful. Thank
yeah.
you. No, called Thank,
Thank
you.
You. Thank you. Yeah.
I loved that song with a passion as a kid.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me.
Thank you for that day you came and broke the chains.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Anyway, give us your list.
Okay. So I don't have as many as you. I think I've got four, actually. So first one is You Will Know. Do you know You Will Know?
No.
You Will Know. It's like, you will know, troubled heart, you'll know. And it's basically about like, I don't know, problems have solutions, everything's going to be all right, you'll just know when it's the right time for this and for that. Really, really lovely song, and I think I just rediscovered it in the past few months, and I bang it out all the time. It's my absolute fave, so You Will Know. Another one, Stand Still, from their album Mary Mary. This is the album that had, this album had Heaven on it, and it had Believer, the one about your house is on fire.
the OG listeners know about that too.
Right, she was there about that. Yeah, House is on Fire. So Stand Still. I think I mentioned Stand Still a long time ago. And my favorite line in it says, it's like from God's perspective. He's like, what have I got to do to make you understand that I know what's best for you and I always have? Stand Still and Know That I Am God. That hits every single time. So I love Stand Still, but that's not on Spotify or Apple. You have to go on YouTube for that one.
Oh no. You know it's serious when you've got to go on YouTube with adverts.
I know. That one's confined to YouTube. Another good one is Good to Me with Destiny's Child. Do you know that one?
Love it. Love it. That's seriously love underrated. That why do people not know so about underrated. That song?
I don't even know. And you know what? I think it was easy for them to collaborate even more because they won the same record label. They're both on Dark Child.
You're joking?
Child. Yeah, they were both on Dark Child at the time. Obviously, it was a Beyonce singing. It was girls doing ooh-ah in the background. But yeah, it still says Destiny's Child, so we'll accept it as that. And my last one is I'm Running. I love I'm Running by Mary Mary. And my favorite part is when they break out to As the Deer, like in the bridge.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's just, and like, when I was younger and I used to hear that song, I used to like visualize myself running towards God. like a scene in a movie. Just leaving all my troubles behind and just running to the cross. So
let me tell you, that song is a serious banger. It says, I'm running and I won't stop for nothing.
Oh, it's hard, but it's worth it. Because it's the love that I want. Absolutely love that song. So yeah, those are our underrated songs for Mary Mary.
I'm so sorry to keep going on Mary Mary, but do you know this song called Yesterday by Mary Mary?
I had enough heartache
and enough headache.
I've had so many ups and downs.
Don't know that how song. Much more I can take, but I just
then I cried.
No,
that's,
you know what's
good.
So funny, so Mary Mary used to have a reality show a couple years ago, and there's a time where they were basically performing that song, and the way Erica would take a breath before doing that long Yesterday note, she would sing Yesterday with her life. She said, I'm gonna leave my body on this stage, but you would know it was Yesterday.
Yesterday. That song is good though.
It is a really good one. You gotta love
it. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's like the decision that I'm gonna be strong now. Like I cried my last tears yesterday. Like I'm done crying. Now I'm gonna face the world. I'm gonna face reality. So I like the message in that song too.
Yeah, no, such a good message.
Okay, she goes to the next person.
Yes.
The next artist is Cece Winans.
Auntie Cece, you gotta love her. My first song, I love this song because I used to listen to it when I was like probably 10 years old. And I don't know how I found it, but I just loved it and I just started vibing to it. It's called Mercy Said No. And it's such a banger. It says, Mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. Love you don't it. Have to be afraid. Oh!
Come on now.
I love it. Like, it's such a comforting, feel-good song, and it has such a great meaning. And it's, you know, a song of Christ's redemptive love. And you can't go wrong with that. So really, really love Mercy Said No. Then my second one, I only got two for Cece Winans. I was gonna call her Mercy Winans.
I called her a Cece Wonder earlier.
Oh my god.
Cece Wonder.
I've only got two. The next one I actually discovered. Okay, so you know when you hear a song and it feels familiar, like it feels like something you heard years ago. This is how this song was. Mm. But I found it in final year and it's called Jesus, You're Beautiful. Oh my god, guys, please check this song out. It's such a it has like a nostalgic feel about it. It feels like you know, something that you've heard growing up type of song. It's such a beautiful like a song. Sunday I don't even want to butcher it now. What do you say?
Like Sunday School.
Yes, yes. It's really, really nice. And I think they're both underrated, so definitely go check out those ones from Auntie Cece.
Okay, if this was a competition, you'd win that round because mine are so basic. They're not even underrated, they're just songs everybody knows. Yeah. So the first one is Alabaster Box. I think that should just be mentioned anyways because, you know, you didn't know the cost
of the oil. Of the oil.
So the room grew still. She made a way to
Jesus.
She stumbled. That song is so good. So I was telling you just before we started that I rediscovered the song when I was... Do you ever have those times when you like watch X Factor auditions?
No. Oh my God, I know exactly what you're talking about. Adela, the woman sang the song.
Yes. This one with an afro.
Yes.
Dressed in like... It looked like she was wearing latex. Like she was wearing some very sexy, sexy outfit. An amazing afro.
Yes.
And she came to sing Alabaster Box by CeCe Winans. And everybody was like so amazed by how amazingly she sang it. And I remember Kelly Rowland was like, you just sang a song that nobody in this arena knew and they all loved you for it, all that stuff. And it was just such an amazing performance. So that's how I rediscovered the song. And it's just a beautiful song. Like, it's basically about how, was it Mary or Martha? Which one was it that washed her feet, washed Jesus' feet? One of them anyways.
No, I think it was just a woman. I forgot her name, but she just broke the oil. It was like the most expensive perfume oil that she had.
Oh, okay.
And she broke it at Jesus's feet and used her hair on his feet with that expensive oil.
I was thinking of the time one of them was sitting at his feet and the other one okay, wrong story. But yeah, beautiful story, using what she had to give to the Lord, you know. So Alabaster Box, fantastic song. Other one is Fill My Cup from that same album.
Oh my gosh. Yes. How did I forget that song?
Her rendition of Fill My Cup is fantastic. It's only like a minute as well.
It's like 59 seconds, but yeah. My God.
It's so good. Adefala,
let me tell you, I'm sorry guys, but I just need to talk about the artistry of this woman, CeCe.
Yeah.
She's perfected the beauty in simplicity. Hmm. The thing with CeCe Winans is you're not going to expect all these runs and all this flamboyant singing from her. She'll sing straight, but she will sing beautifully, and like her tone and her precision and her, like, she's just so good at what she does. Like, and when you hear that Fill My Cup song, you know why she's in the position she's in. You know why she's got the Grammys. You know why she's got those those albums that sell amazingly, because she's just like, she's got that old school commitment to singing. You know, there's some people that sing now. I'm not saying people can't sing now, but I'm talking about, let's hear how you sound without all those runs and without all those extra things that people put in. Sing straight and let's hear how. And she's like the queen of like singing really well, and not having to do like all these fancy stuff. But that Fill My Cup song,
it's a great intro to the album too, because it's the first song. So you press play on the album and you hear Fill My Cup. Fantastic. Yes, fill it up. I want it to be.
You know, there's this documentary on YouTube, guys. If you want to know more about CeCe Winans, just tap in like CeCe Winans documentary. And long story short, she tells this story about how her brother was like basically on his deathbed. He was really, really unwell. And the doctors came and said, look, we don't know what's going to happen next. So her whole family gathered around to pray. And actually something really interesting that they did was that they said, the dad said, I want everyone to forgive each other. Anything I've done to you, anything your siblings have done, whatever, forgive each other. So they just started confessing, forgiving, repenting, praying. Yeah. Long story short, God did a miracle and, you know, the brother ended up surviving. And then once they reveal that news, you hear the documentary fades out and you just hear, fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Oh. I said no.
Fantastic. Amazing. I like how you highlighted that, like the beauty and simplicity. I feel like we should pay more attention to that sometimes. We got so wrapped up in like amazing, amazing things that simple things get thrown to the wayside. But it's like those old gospel songs we spoke about a while ago, like the simple ones that just take you straight to the cross, fast track.
Come on, fast track.
You know
No diversions.
No diversions, no stops, no changeovers. Just one straight fast train. So yeah, Fill My Cup. That was, we've both done CeCe Winans now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Up next is Mr. Fred Hammond.
Come on.
Come on now.
So the song I'm going to say is not underrated, guys. Everyone probably knows this song. It's called Bread. Is it called Bread of Life or Bread of Heaven?
It's Bread of Life. Bread of Life.
Bread of Life is another song I grew up on hearing. I heard it all the time. Yeah. But do you know when you hear a song all the time, then you feel like you just rediscovered it for yourself?
Yeah.
So I rediscovered it when I was like in year 11 or something.
Oh, okay.
And you know when you haven't heard a song in ages and you hear it?
Oh, wait, sorry. Let me pause you. We're both wrong. It's called You Are the Living Word.
Oh, my gosh.
In brackets.
Jessica looks me dead in the eye and said it's called Bread of Life.
It's You Are the Living... Why do you call it that? You should have called it Bread of Life.
Isn't it? I hate when artists do that, when they call it something completely contrary to what everyone says. Anyway, You Are the Living Word. Mm. What, do you know my favorite part is when it goes, many things you were on earth, uh-huh. A holy king, a carpenter. Oh,
You Are the Living Word.
No, I'm sorry. That song, please, if you don't know it, go check it out because it's a serious, serious tune.
I remember when I was in secondary school, I was in gospel choir, and it's one of the first songs that we did because they like formulated the choir when I was in like year eight. So, yeah, we were just singing it, and this is like the first song that we sang really, really well, and yeah. We sang it more than once to the point where if you mentioned gospel choir, people would just start singing Bread of Life. That's like the only song we sang. We got the harmonies down, we got the arrangements down, like it was a good performance, but it was like, sing something else, please.
Yeah,
but yeah, we absolutely loved You Are the Living Word. What's your other one?
My next one is Show Yourself Strong.
Yeah,
I feel like that's an underrated one, but it's a very, very good song. It's like a feel good song, get pumped, get ready for the day type of song.
Yeah.
And it really shows his amazing vocal ability. And I love Fred Hammond with like large choirs. I think like he sounds the best when he has like an amazing choir backing him. And this is that type of vibe.
Radical for Christ.
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
But yeah, man, that's me on Fred Hammond.
Okay, that's your two.
Yeah.
Okay, so mine, I have got three. Let me know if you know any of these. I feel like these are quite unique. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So the first one is Give Me a Clean Heart.
No, I don't know that.
Okay, so Give Me a Clean Heart. I mean, it's just a beautiful song. It's basically, he's asking God, he says, for a strength exchange. He says, I will gladly take your joy for my weakness. Give me a clean heart. And I will serve nobody but you. And it's just the most amazing, beautiful, calm song as well. Like it's so calm and like mellow, like in a really, really good way. And every time I feel like I've just been wilding out, feeling far from God, I play that song and it just kind of brings me back.
Yeah.
So recently I've found that there are some songs that express what I'm feeling inside more than the words that I could use would be able to. It's almost like my heart is singing. And that's one of the songs that I play to feel that. It's like I want to talk to God right now, but I don't even know what to say. And I play that song and it feels like it's coming from my heart towards God. So I love Give Me a Clean Heart. I also really love A Closer Walk. A Closer Walk by him is really good. He has a performance of that song. And I think Ruben Studdard comes and sings a second verse on that, which is really nice as well. And it's just saying, just a closer walk with thee, for your love will make the difference in me. And just asking God to like bring him closer, to walk closer with him. Another really, really mellow one. I think they might be from the same album. If not, then they're not. But another just really, really good song, A Closer Walk. And I love like the bridge as well, when like it kind of crescendos up and it's just like, oh, I've cried to that song many, many, many times. and the last one is The Best Thing That Ever Happened by Fred Hammond. That came out maybe like 10 years ago or something like that, so like late 2000s or whatever. And he's saying like, God is the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's a really positive song. And I actually saw him perform, well, I didn't see it, but I watched the video of him performing it at the church big day out, or big church day out.
Oh, you know, in England, right?
Yeah, in England, yeah. And there was a guy, that was backing him in that performance. It also backs Kirk Franklin. And that guy was, his name is, oh, what's his, sorry, let him say his name, because he's a really, really good artist. Hold on.
I think he told me about him before. Was he singing at Kirk Franklin's Tiny Desk?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, you told me about him.
So his name is Michael Bethany. He's got a really good song called Season of Favor and Need My Time With You. I'm going on a tangent. Anyways, that performance was really good. And it was just after Fred Hammond had, I think he had like a knee surgery or something like that. And he couldn't stand for too long of the performance, which made it even more beautiful to watch because he was just standing like on his like crutch and he was just singing. And I was like, oh, Fred! I've cried to that song too. It's like a really positive song, but it's just like, God really is the best thing that ever happened to me. And the song is just like saying that once again. So absolutely love the best thing that ever happened. And that's my top three underrated for Fred Hammond.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to check those songs out because I actually don't know them.
Yeah, those two really love me. I went through a big Fred Hammond phase last year, like during lockdown. And that's why I found most of these songs.
Okay. I love to discover new songs, man.
I know, right?
I'll tell ya. So, next, I think we should do Marvin Sapp next because we have the big dog of gospel music.
The best of last,
yeah. So Marvin Sapp, I've only got one song and, you know, some may say it's not very underrated, but it's my favorite song of his and it's Marvin Sapp, Best in Me.
Oh.
I love that song. I think it's such a vulnerable song in that God, like even, it doesn't matter, you know, who I am or what even I do, but he sees the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me.
Mm.
And I just think it's another comforting song. It hits home and it's like, you know what? He's mine and I am his. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what I did because he only sees me for who I am.
That's a bar right there, Joyce.
No, I love it. And I love those old school gospel songs that are recorded live. So it just has that, like, sometimes I think nowadays, like when things are recorded in studios, however like crisp the audio is, sometimes it loses that like relatability, but because this is live and like you can hear him even interacting with the congregation, it just has that beauty to it that I really enjoy. So I've only got one song, but that is my fave, Marvin Sapp.
I do love a live album. In fact, speaking of live albums, two live albums I really, really love by Israel Houghton, A Deeper Level and Alive in South Africa.
Alive in South Africa is a giant
classic.
Hey.
We should have put him on the list. Should we do him after Kurt? I think he's worth that. I think we should. Because there were so many
Israel songs. Israel, how could we not put Israel on here?
We not put Israel there? Okay, we'll do Kirk, then we'll do Israel after that. You guys are here, we're trying to find our favorite songs. Okay. Marvin Sapp, I've got two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Face to Face. And is basically, it's based on how the veil is torn. And he says at the beginning, it gives us access.
Come on.
I've started to say, it gives us access. Because it does give us access. And it's like, he goes, now we can worship you with no limits and no boundaries because of the blood of Christ. We see him and not our sin and shame. Really, really lovely song with a choir and with his vocals too. I think I like the message more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't really heard too many songs about that particular story or that particular thing that happened and like the value of it. So I think it's a really nice, chirpy song. And also None Like You medley. So you know the song, There Is None Like You.
Oh, that is...
He does a medley of that.
No, sorry. I need to search that up now.
Joyce,
I need
to search that up so right now. Good. Now, I have to give props to my friend who sent it to me in third year. Kudos to you, whatever. He'll be gassed to hear that.
You know when you're in the trenches and people will be sending you them songs. Is it on Spotify?
Yes, it's on Spotify. Oh, it's so good. Let me find what album it's even from.
Let me tell you, a song like There Is None Like You, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me let you not know. You see, like when you're in a lovely time of worship,
yeah,
and everything is just, the songs are hitting, yeah?
Yeah.
And then someone just comes and does, There Is None. Everyone has to go home.
Y'all better get out now.
You better evacuate the building now because it's actually all over.
Oh.
And then when they say, no one else can touch my... And their voice breaks. God. I actually have to leave.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's such a good... And he does it more than justice. There's an interlude in the middle where he goes, if you can't think of a reason to bless his name, just inhale, then exhale.
Wow.
I said, yeah, Marvin.
Come and see poetry.
So now I'm a breed now. I'm like, Marvin, this is fantastic. It's so good.
Do you know Marvin's story?
No, what's the story?
His testimony. That's how Never Would Have Made It. It came out of that testimony. He lost his wife. His wife died.
Oh, really?
Babe, and left him. I think he has 4 children that he was that
oh.
he had.
Around that time that he wrote that song.
Yeah, I think that's where the song Never Would Have Made It came out of.
Damn. Jeez.
Let me tell you, life.
You know, I think it's also worth saying that Fred Hammond and Marvin Sapp put in a group together.
No way.
Commissioned.
I didn't know that. That is crazy. Yeah.
Do you know Keith Stutton?
No.
Keith Stutton, he's a really good gospel artist too. And they all went solo eventually, but they're all very successful. I think the 3 of them and maybe one other person, I'm not sure, were in this group like in the 80s and 90s, this men's group called Commissioned. And you always hear like these churchy Black Americans talking about how they made a call for like men to worship God in spirit and in truth around the time.
Oh, that's lovely,
yeah.
Man.
They've got a really good song called He Set Me Free. It's very, very 80s. It might have come out in the 90s, but it sounds 80s to me. And another one called King of Glory. But yeah.
There must be like 75 songs called King of Glory. I tell
this
you.
This is one of them. So yeah, anyway, that's my favorite Marvin Sapp, None Like You medley. I don't think there is a Christian out there that will hear that song and not like it. I don't even care. You cannot love God.
That's a strong statement. You cannot be a child of God.
You cannot love God and not like that, at least like that song. It will move you the first time you hear it, I'm telling you. So good. So yeah, that's my first. Oh, that was my first Marvin. No, that's my second Marvin Sapp song. Yeah, I only had 2. So.
Lovely.
Up next is Mr. Kirk Franklin.
I want my people say. Oh, man. That guy. Kirk is too much. So I don't want us to be here all day, yeah? So I might even cut down on my list because I've got a lot. Number one, underrated. Love. Kirk Franklin's song that I think is underrated. Silver and Gold.
Yes.
Very serious song we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. No fame or fortune.
No riches untold.
Or riches. Come on. Untold.
For unto us a child is born.
Oh my God. No, that song I really love. I think it's underrated. I love it. It's like, I think Kirk Franklin and the Family went back in the day when they were still singing with a choir. Really, really good song. Has an old school vibe. Definitely listen to it. Number 2 is First Love. I like Come First Love. Back.
I love that song. You know the part I like at the end when it's like, in the background, you can hear someone singing like, for like 16
They're
bars.
They're forcing you to come back. And then if you don't come back.
That song is so good. Like the first line, I know they hurt you.
Oh,
I saw you stumble, but didn't help you. That song is fantastic.
The song says, they were quick to pray, but slow to move.
Yeah.
Oh, they were quick to pray, slow to move.
That sounds like a sermon.
It is a sermon. Like, as in, how can your song start off as, I know they hurt you? Oh, don't even get me started. Guys, go listen to First Love. It's a serious, serious song. And go on, babe.
Now, before you continue, we should do the top 5 for the album Hero.
Yes, yes, we should. That we're going to be fighting until the end.
That's going to be good. Okay, sorry. What were you going to say?
That's a serious album. But yeah, no, that song is really... And what I love about Kirk Franklin, like, when you strip back, like, how excellent the vocal arrangements and musicality of his songs are, the words of his song, like, they're so relatable. And like, he just strips everything back and just... Anyone can listen to it and relate to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I really, really love that. Another fave is My Life, My Love, My All. Guys, that song will take you on a journey.
Yeah.
As in, it shows how amazing the choir was.
Mm.
Because like the harmonies that were going on and the different arrangements that were going on, but it's such a good song. I don't think it's on Spotify though. I think you can only get it on YouTube.
No, it's on Spotify. Oh, is it? On my playlist.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Lovely. So you can even listen to it on Apple Music, Spotify, all of that jazz. But yeah, watch it on YouTube because you get the full experience when you watch the video too. Really good song. Yeah. And the last one, I didn't even want to tell Adefale this song before recording because I was hoping she might know it. Because okay, this song, let me give you a backstory, guys. So when I was at 13 and I started to take my walk seriously, I discovered Kirk Franklin, loved his music and other artists too. This yeah, song, yeah, I just used to bang it out all the time. It's called You Are.
Yes, I know you are.
Oh my God.
Of course I know you are.
Guys, people need to stop playing with Kirk Franklin. Guys, go and listen to these songs. It said, You Are Jesus.
Yes.
You are my joy.
It's such a, yeah, what you said about his simple lyrics is so true. Like, he doesn't write things, lyrics that lose you. It's like, what are you talking about now? It's like, no, I know what he's talking about because it's very simple and it resonates with me. That song lists everything that Jesus is to somebody or could be to you or is to you.
Guys, that song is really beautiful. Like, it's my top, it's my number one Kirk Franklin underrated song. Wow. Number one, You Are. And if you don't take anything away from this episode, I'm begging you, go listen to that song. I really love it, and yeah, yeah, man,
I love what it does. Where can I go? Who can I call? He's there to catch me when I fall. Okay,
where can I go? Do you know there's a scripture, yeah,
mm-hmm,
where like I forgot who it was. Guys, God should help me. But it basically, somebody in the Bible is saying, where can I go? When I go to the valleys, you are there. When I go up to the highest mountain, you are there. Like, where can I go from your presence? Wow. Like, who, he said, where can I go? Who will I run to? And then he said, who will I call? Guys, don't even get me started.
That's a good underrated list. That's really, really nice.
Thanks, babe.
Where's mine? Okay. So my first one from his album, The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin, Looking Out For Me.
Yes.
You keep on looking out for me. And it's like, you know those ones where they refer to the doctor? You know, it's literally about the doctor.
Doctors, they hate doctors. Christians hate them. The doctor said,
the line literally goes, remember when the doctor said he couldn't help me? And it just keeps going on telling someone's story. Look Out For Me is a really, really good song. Basically saying, like, through all of the mishaps and the situations I've gone through, Jesus, you keep on looking out for me.
Yeah,
same as the one you just said. No, one of the ones you said before, The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin. Those of those songs are like YouTube videos, and you should definitely watch them because it just adds to like the power.
Yeah, it does.
And the choir is so good. Oh my God! Like, how are people that good at singing? It's crazy.
The amount of rehearsal that must have gone into it, insane.
Yeah, so good. So there's that. My second one, Everyone Hurts. Do you know Everyone Hurts?
Oh my gosh. You, let me tell you something. We've spoken about this, about how some of these gospel artists can really take you into your depression. That song will leave you high and dry. That is a serious song.
Everyone hurts and goes through pain. Whatever's first, it feels the same. But then the chorus is more positive. It says, but we pray tonight that you don't get weak. And we pray that I don't forget what I believe, because these days are hard and life sometimes is worse. Pray until he heals the hurt. And it's just beautiful. It's a bit depressing, I won't lie. Like, if you're about to cry, it will take you there if you want it to. But if you don't want to go there, don't press play. Everyone Hurts from Hello Fear. So good. I really, really like that song. Another one, Hide Me. I've spoken about Hide Me before. That's just my favorite song. Basically full love stop it. I just love the song. It's hard to be mentioned again.
Yeah,
every time I just feel like, especially when I'm like going through hard times in life, that song reminds me that he basically says the road includes some pain, and to grow you need some rain, and when it falls I want to be where you are. So that in these hard situations in life that I need to grow as an individual, to grow as a flower that I always compare myself to, it's like, at least when it falls I want to be where God is. I don't want to be out in the cold when it's raining, when I can be, I don't know, under a shelter, like I can have some kind of comfort. Either way, bad things are going to happen, but I'd rather be by God's side when they are, for that safety and that support. So that's why I love Hide Me. And my last one is It Will Take All Day. You know, It Will Take All Day.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It Will Take All Day is like similar to, well, I guess kind of similar to First Love, in the sense of like, it's just, well, it's just beautiful, to be honest with you. And like, it's just, it's quite mellow throughout. It doesn't have like a big crescendo or anything like that. But he's basically saying, it would take all day to tell you how much I love you. This heart that beats, each fragile piece I give you, it's for you. Fantastic. Beautiful lyrics, beautiful piano, It Would Take All Day. I absolutely love that song. So yeah, that's my last favorite underrated.
Babe, you've reminded me of this Cat Cracking song called Help Me Believe. Do you know it?
Yes, I know.
Oh my God. That song, yeah.
Oh, that was for the doubters.
It was for the doubters out there. I want to believe, but I'm having a hard time. As in, help me believe. I want to believe.
Let me believe.
He's begging for it.
He's asking, dying for it.
He said, I'm not good on my own.
Yeah.
Give me another chance. He said, it's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe in what I can't see.
Do you know what? Kirk has been where we currently all are and where we're headed. This guy has been. And he wrote it down.
He felt it all. Another one I think we should mention is Always.
Mm.
I think I sent you Always a while ago. Was it Always that I sent to you?
Did I not just look? I literally just typed in Always into the chat. What's the chat? The lyrics. That is a serious.
Always. I love the, my favorite part goes, no one can touch my heart like you or make me smile the way you do. I finally found someone who really, truly loves me.
Oh my God.
It's like, no matter what you take me through, I promise you I'll spend my always with you.
Can you imagine?
What is that? In a good way.
I'll spend my always with you.
Yeah. So good.
Goodness. That is too good. I'm so sorry. That is actually too good.
And that's just some of them. I have a lot more. That's just
20%, guys.
That's just the taste.
Have you had this song called Lean On Me by Let me tell your story. They were beefing the doctor in that song as well. As in, why do Christians hate doctors? The story they'll tell you about doctors,
The doctor said.
The doctor thought. The medical report, it came back.
Oh my gosh, even one song by Travis Greene, Made Away.
Yeah.
At the end, he goes, when the doctor said no, you said yes. When they called me dead, you said not yet.
Oh my God. No. Do you know there's a song by Todd Galbraith, and it's about healing, and then there's a part where there's a preacher that comes and like preaches like for 2 seconds in the song, and he says, death will take a long vacation. Death will take a long vacation.
He said vacation because he has to come back in the end, but for now.
Because we have to die at some point. Like, we be hating that. It's too much. It's actually too much. We're too funny. But, I could talk about Kirk Franklin until I physically cry.
Low-key obsessed. Did you see his Amarian challenge?
Yeah, I saw that. But he sent me something to do with that. He's actually too funny.
He's a joker.
Oh, man. Right. So, we said we're going to do Israel, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We did.
Israel.
Bear with, guys, as we literally look for the song.
I actually really like the name Israel.
Yeah, it's quite a nice name.
I think it's really nice.
What I used to do in church services when I was bored is go like to the Old Testament chapters that would list tribes, and I'd look for names that I'd call my children. I'd just be like, well, that name is nice. That name is nice.
I'ma highlight that one.
Yeah.
So one that comes to mind is, do you know the song, Who Am I That
Yes.
You Are Mindful of
Yes,
Me?
Friend of God.
That's a banger.
About that?
That's Israel right there, and that's a banger.
That's a good one.
And this the next Israel song I do, because I'm not prepared, y'all.
Yeah.
So, oh no. Have you listened to Hosanna?
Which one? Like the one he released ages ago?
The one, Let Our King.
Of course I have.
Let me tell you something about that song right there. Guys, if any, come off this podcast right now and type in Hosanna Israel Houghton. That song, he got little choir boys from England.
I was thinking they didn't
That's
sound,
how much effort he put into it.
I think they didn't sound like a normal choir.
They
I
were not
know.
Americans. They were British.
No wonder. That's how
you only get that sound in England. I'm so sorry. They were singing their lives away. Like the amount of effort that went into the song and the beauty and the way it all came together was so nice. I love that song, Let Our King Be Lifted Up. Like, I just think it's a beautiful song. Like, even when I just hear it in worship services and stuff, I love it. Like, that's definitely one everyone should listen to. And then obviously the classic, Jesus at the Center. But the reason I like that song is actually not for the song. I only like the bridge, From My Heart.
From Heart to the Heavens.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Okay. Is that all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. I have got quite a few. I'm actually writing them as I speak, so don't forget them. This is just, once again, skimming the surface because there's probably a few that I've forgotten about. But one of them is, or the first one is, If Not For Your Grace. Do you know Ooh. If Not For Your Grace? Oh, that song is good.
Israel.
Yeah. Where would I be if not for your grace carrying me through every season? And it says, grace that restores, grace that redeems, grace that releases miracles, grace that replays visions and dreams, grace that releases miracles, your grace. Oh, fantastic song.
Serious grace.
grace. If you love a bit of grace, you'll like If Not For Your Grace. And I just like the way his voice sounds at the beginning. It's just so calming and just like, oh, it's like a warm hug. Love If Not For Your Grace. Another one I really, really like is I Will Search. I Will Search just gives me like, it gives me like Hillsong hymn vibes. It gives me fresh air. Like, do you know when you go to those school trips, these like activity centers or whatever?
Yeah.
You have to wake up but early in the morning, you go outside and it's like fresh air because you're from London and this is like new to you. It's like, oh, this is a field. Mm-hmm. And you just feel like it's cold, but it's like a good kind of cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Fresh air. That's what I feel when I hear I Will Search. It just is so refreshing. It's a really, really refreshing song. Sometimes I just play it in the morning just to just renew my spirit. So I think you're like, I Will Search. Another one, Moving Forward.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah.
I love Moving Forward. That one's really nice. Like, I will follow you forward and you make all things new. Really, really nice. Another one, Prayers of the Righteous. That's actually based on the Bible verse, Prayers of the Righteous Shall Prevail.
Yes,
do you know that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That he's basically saying, yeah, we know the prayers of the righteous prevail. His love never fails. The prayers of the righteous prevail. I think most of these are from a deeper level. Like, that's one of my favorite albums by him. So that one's really good too. And another one, if not my last one, is African Skies. It's literally like a 1 minute, 20 second instrumental. It's like from a live concert. It's like an interlude, but I listen to it like it's like an actual song. No words, just him scatting every now and then, and I absolutely love how it sounds. It's literally just vibes. It's just vibes. Oh, and another one, Surely from that album too, is so good by Israel Houghton. So those are my underrated ones by him. But I think he's quite underrated just as an artist in general.
Yeah, honestly, like, he's so good. And his voice is, he has such a good quality voice as well. Yeah. I think sometimes people just know him as, like, the worship guy. Yeah. But his voice is, like, excellent. Like, he's really amazing.
And he sings in Spanish too now, doesn't he? With Adrian.
Yeah, with Adrian. She's got him singing that in that Spanish all day. So she also has a really nice voice, you know, Adrian Bailon.
She always has. And do you remember on The Real when she was talking about how she just felt like her voice was childish, which is why she stopped singing?
No, her voice is excellent.
Yeah. I think it's really nice. It seems to be that after she married him, like, she just literally found her voice again, and she just became grown
and confident. Yeah,
it's really, really lovely to see, because I always loved her voice, like on Disney Channel and stuff like that too.
Yeah,
so to hear it growing up, and it sounds the same, which is even more amazing. Like, but in a good way. Like, her voice is quite timeless. I really like her voice. It's so unique.
Yeah, no, me too. I like, and it kind of reminds me of Cece's voice in the sense that she's not like too flamboyant with like all these runs and stuff, but her voice is, just has an excellence to it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that simple excellence. It goes all the way.
It does, it really does.
So, do you have any faves of the week?
I do. I feel like I had a dry streak with my faves, but today I have, well, it's actually a song.
Shocker.
It's called That Was Then by Layla Hathaway.
By the end of the episode, people are going to be like, oh my God.
We get it. You like music. No one cares.
Oh gosh.
I'm so sorry, but I actually love music.
People will say, nah, I've written down 12 songs. I've actually had it. Go on, baby. Don't mind them.
Don't mind them. That Was Then by Layla Hathaway. Oh my gosh. The first line is, going through changes, I'm come back on where I once began. What? And
sorry. Going through changes, but you're back where you once began.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt over the past probably 2 or 3 weeks. And I remember I liked the song. It's on my Neo Soul playlist. I play it every now and then. But you know when a song just kind of like comes to you and then you just play it, like a song you know, but you don't listen to it too much. And I pressed play when I was in the midst of my situation. And it was just speaking my experience, but it's also talking about how, you know what, these things happened, but that was then and this is now, as in like, yeah, that happened, like, I can't change the past, I can't change how it made me feel, I can't change how it's affecting my present, but this is now, let me just try and go forwards. Like, yeah, that was in the past, but this is now. And that song has been really helping me recently, just to like see life from a more positive perspective, considering some of the things that are happening around me and to me. So every time I play that song, I'm like, yeah. And it's also just nice to listen to a song where you can imagine the author must have been going through something similar, or not something, but like a situation just as mentally tasking or like horrible. And they wrote this song that's helping me like 20 years down the line. And that's what I also really appreciate, like, because it feels so specific, but obviously it was written for her own situation at the time. So yeah, That Was Then by Layla Hathaway. That's my current fave.
Love it, man. Love it, love it. So shocker, my current fave is a song too. And when I tell you, this song has me in a chokehold.
A song.
So you know how much I love South African gospel music. Like, I just think that those people there, anointed, like, as in, it's just beautiful. The fact that the gifting that God has given them transcends language is just shocking, because I don't understand anything of what they're saying, but I just find myself loving it and listening to it.
Wow.
So I was on TikTok and I heard a snippet of this song. And for me, like, do you know what I was thinking of the other day? Like, because of social media, we have so much access to so much music and so much creative content that sometimes it can just feel like just another song going in the works, and it just goes, and then another song comes in, and like we no longer have time to kind of appreciate bodies of work as much, just because of like the accessibility and like the demand is ridiculous. So you just got so much music being thrown at you. Yeah. And now I'm more aware of like what moves me rather than what I just enjoy. I'm like, so I was on TikTok and I had this guy sing. I said, sorry.
Rewind.
I literally posted it on my Instagram the other day. And I was like, this guy is absolutely amazing. Like, he's really good. And so normally when I hear a live song, I rarely like the studio version. Mm. But I tried to look for it live, couldn't find it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to the studio version. And I even preferred the studio version. Oh, that's how much I love the song. Song is, I'm going to try my best to pronounce this.
Oh, was it the one that you sent me a few days ago?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. It begins with an M, right?
Yes.
Good luck pronouncing that one.
The song is called Mekulu Sembenezi.
That sounds good to me.
Kulum Sembenezi by Kaya Matetwa. I think that's how you say his name. Kaya Matetwa. Guys, I'm going to put it in the bio below. Beautiful song. The song starts off with just the choir singing in unison, and it really drives home like the actual song, the melody. And then the man comes in. When he came to conquer. As in,
he did.
I'm telling you, that's all I've been listening to this week. It's such a beautiful song, and you can go and find that translation on Google and stuff. But I absolutely love it. What did you think when you heard it, Defala?
It was fantastic, especially when his voice came in too. I was like, I don't know what he's saying, but I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it. And I really like it when I hear a song in a different language and I just vibe with it. You know that song by that Somalian auntie that everyone's loving right now?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. I haven't tried to pronounce it. But I was listening to it today on Spotify, and then it was on the radio for Spotify, and then another Somalian song came up, and I was like, what is this? This is
it's opening up to a new world now.
Honestly, 1 6-minute song, I said, this bangs. This is actually fantastic. So yeah, I really do love listening, and I want to do more of it, like listening to songs in other languages. Like, oh my gosh, you think that the songs you listen to in your language are amazing. Think about all the other amazing songs out there, even if you don't understand what they're saying, but rhythm and tempo and melody is just as important. And sometimes that's all you really need to enjoy some music. That's how I can enjoy some songs that are in Yoruba, even though I don't speak Yoruba or understand it too much, because I just like the way it sounds, and that's enough, you know? So yeah, I want to do more of listening to songs in other languages.
And to me, there's something about African gospel, and when we sing in our languages, I don't care what language it is, something about African gospel, like, it's so moving. It's the passion and like, it's the passion behind the singing. And you know, to sing in English is one thing, but to sing in your home language is a beauty to it. And like, even with my family back in Uganda, like my dad's side of the family, we're singing family. So like almost everyone in our family sings. And so whenever we get together for Christmas, we're always singing like these gospel songs in our language. And like, when I tell you, like, it's just the togetherness and the passion and like the family feeling that's so beautiful. And I don't think that could be reciprocated in a language that's not native to us. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love hearing people sing, like even Spanish gospel.
Yeah.
I love that Maverick is doing a lot of Spanish music now. I absolutely love it. Like, it's right up my alley.
I know. And there's so many languages out there. It's literally like unlimited funds. You can sing every language you want to sing.
And you know, I hear people saying this a lot about Yoruba, and I believe it's the same with a lot of African or even other languages in general. There's some depths of expression that you can express, for example, in Yoruba that you can't express in English.
100%.
Because some other languages are limited. Like, there's like, sometimes you'll read something, and when you see the translation, you're like, wow, that's really deep what they said. And they just said one word. And to translate in English, you need like 17 words.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't directly translate it. Like, you know, the expression is just so deep and meaningful in that language.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if this is the actual fact, but I think English might be the most limited language. Like, I think it's an actual fact. Like, obviously loads of people sing it. One of the most widely spoken languages in the world. But maybe that's why it's so limited, because it's so possible to learn. Do you get what I mean? In terms of like tones and accents and all of that, it's not as in-depth as something like Yoruba, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's maybe why there's just so much more to explore in other languages. So much more to understand as well. Even something down to the names of God. Like, the names of God in Yoruba compared to what they are in English, very, very different, not the same amount. So just that alone, or what's it called? Or the ways to describe him, or like the, what's that term? It's like a metaphor, or like a certain term or a certain anecdote that can be said in the space of literally like 3 words, like you said just now. And using something like that to describe God, like just all of that stuff is just so much deeper than the English language.
Honestly, and sometimes the poetic nature of it, like there's some certain things that my mom will tell me
in like in our native language in Luganda, and it will be so like poetic, and you'll think, okay, if I was to translate that into English, I couldn't even do it. Like, it wouldn't make sense as it is in our language. Like, the way that we have a lot of proverbs and a lot of sayings in different tribes in Uganda, yeah, and stuff, proverbs. And it's just like, for someone to have to sit down and break that down to you, and once you got it, you got it. Like, you always know what it means. But okay, we have a few proverbs in England. Like, okay, I'm gonna hit the bird with two birds with one stone. You know?
Oh yeah, fantastic.
Cool, blimey, that's not even a proverb. Cool, blimey.
Cool, blimey.
We've got our own thing going on here as well. Like, you know. Yeah. But yeah, man, I love that about, and I'm sure the same with Yoruba culture. Like, there's a lot of proverbs that you guys have.
Yeah, loads. There's one that my auntie, so this is like a quick tangent. At this point, this is an episode, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah, is it? I've already said it's an episode.
It's an episode. Where we changed our minds. So when I used to sleep over at my cousin's house, we used to make bear noise, obviously. So like, once we'd be like, okay, everyone go to bed, and we'd just be downstairs literally jumping around. Yeah. And sometimes it would be like 2 a.m. and she'd be like, why are you still awake? Like, go to bed. Yeah. And then as a quote unquote punishment, because my auntie loves singing, she even has an album and a couple songs out as well. Like, she's a really amazing Aww. Singer. So at sometimes she'd tell us to come up to her room and she'd teach us Yoruba proverbs. And there was two of them that we learned. I remember how to say one of them in Yoruba, but I don't remember the exact translation. The other one, I remember how to say it, and I remember what it means. And what it basically meant was, well, in essence, your name is better than silver or gold. Go back to Kirk Franklin.
Come on now, full circle.
And she taught us it, and she put a melody to it too. And I was like probably 9 years old, and I still remember the song she made up on the spot, saying your name is better than silver or gold. But even the way it sounded in my native tongue sounded so much better than saying, oh, your name is better than silver or gold, because I know there wasn't even the direct translation. And sometimes I get frustrated at language. I got frustrated at myself that I'm like monolingual, if that's even one language. But I also get frustrated. I feel like there's a barrier. Like, it frustrates me that I'm never going to fully understand what that phrase meant in its own context. I'm only going to understand the translation. Even if I learned that language, would I really feel it the way that somebody feels it when they speak it naturally? You know, like, I wish there were other ways to express myself outside of English. I know that I can learn a different language, but there's something about it, like being raised like that and just having the knowing that I won't have to consider the fact that if I get this translation, I know something's still missing. So I feel like I'm already speaking that language then.
I hear that. Sometimes you feel like, oh, if I was kind of raised to speak it, or even if you were raised to speak it, though, I think there's some sayings that you won't even hear unless you're living in the country, because it doesn't apply to the diaspora. Yeah. Like, you just wouldn't say it in England. You would it would just apply to a context in Uganda or Nigeria or wherever. But funny that you bring up names, because I know that, like, similar to names in Uganda, like, for example, one of the tribes I'm from, I'm Mnyankole, our names have, like, amazing meaning, and they're really, like, 99.9% of the time linked to God. And I know that's the same with Yoruba culture. Like, I remember one time asking someone what their name is, and I forgot the name, but they told me the meaning, and the meaning is God suits me. I said, huh? And it was a year of a person. I said, it's beautiful. Like, that is so beautiful. And I remember, your name has a lovely meaning as well. What does it mean again?
It's someone whose arrival brings wealth and honor.
Oh my God. She said it like it was normal. Someone who's arrived, as in not even your stay, your arrival, as in when Adefala's coming, just know wealth and honor is on the way.
I have expectations to live up to. My surname is similar. I don't remember. I always forget the exact translation of my surname, but it's about wealth as well.
Wow, come on. Yeah,
so I've got big boots to fill.
Talking of names, let me tell you a funny story. So I was watching an interview with this lady, and she's actually Ugandan. She's from a particular tribe in Uganda, and she was talking about her life. She just came on the interview, and so they said to her, oh, tell us your name. She was like, oh, my name is Manuela, blah blah blah. So you have to edit this out because I'm actually laughing too much. So the lady was like, oh my gosh, tell us about like where you're from in Uganda and all of this. She told them and they were like, okay, so what does your name mean? Yeah. She said, then she's like, she didn't want to say it. And the lady was like, oh, like, just say what your name means. She said, my name means the home.
It means what?
She said that my name means the home is dead.
The home is dead.
The home is dead. I said, what? I almost screamed. I almost took off the laptop. She said her name means the home is dead. And it was so bad to the point that a lot of her family members changed their name because obviously that's a horrible meaning. And so now she changed it to something else, which means the home has life. Yeah. I was just thinking, you can actually, this is why people need to ask questions. Yeah. You can actually fully marry someone, take on their name, not knowing their name means the home is dead. And you're wondering why your home is not flourishing. I'm so sorry, but names, I believe that names are really important.
Oh, 100%.
And you know when people are just naming their kids willy nilly, like,
yeah,
like, I don't want to come for people's names, but a lot of three letter word names that you just throw at your child anyhow.
Yeah.
Please, like, names are so, I really think names are important, but
yeah,
I love that about a lot of Nigerians have like beautiful meaning to their names.
Yeah, but I just feel like, I guess obviously because that's the home, the environment I was raised in, but I just never understood why you wouldn't call your child something prophetic. It's like every time you call this person, you're prophesying into their future.
Come on.
Even if you're calling their name with hatred, that's still their name. So you're still prophesying. Come on. So I can't imagine why I wouldn't give my child a name that has some kind of value, some kind of weight to it, or, you know, being a Christian, I guess giving them like a Hebrew name or like a Christian name. I know that some Black Christians would not agree with that because they're not Black, quote unquote, African names, but whatever. I do like loads of Hebrew names too. I have a Hebrew name myself. But yeah, I feel like names that have meaning just hold so much more weight than names that don't. Like, why wouldn't you? What's it going to take from you to speak positively into somebody's life every time you call them? Like, if anything, that's what you should want to do. And I really can't imagine marrying somebody with a name so negative. I actually know, though, that quite a few people like who have traditional Yoruba names. Traditional as in the ones that will worship the deities, the names that worship or refer to the deities and the oracles. They'll change the prefix. Usually from something like Ogun to something like Olu. Because Olu means, what's Olu mean, God? Yeah, Oluwa means God. So like from like Olu, instead of like worshipping a certain deity, they'll change it like that, or they'll change the prefix. My mum's maiden name is not like a quote unquote Christian name. So it's Fadairo, which is Fadairo. But I know some people who had that surname Fadairo, but they changed it to Oludairo instead because Fat is like another Nigerian god or whatever. But I like that surname. So despite what I just said, I think I'd actually keep that one.
Guys don't just have to cover us. Come on. I
have to get over it. But yeah, it's definitely important, I guess, at least in our cultures, because our names hold so much weight, to like consider what you're marrying into.
Our names hold so much. I remember watching a lovely video of a Ugandan politician. He's called Bobby Wine. And he was talking about how, I tell you, he was talking about how his name is so beautiful and it holds so much weight that you can locate him back to Uganda, and not only back to Uganda, but back to his tribe and his village based on his name. Like, your name is like a map.
Yeah, oh wow.
Of where you're from. Like, I can be in the middle of Antarctica, but if I was to tell somebody that my name is Mugume, they'll know, okay, Mugume, that's not going to be a European name. We go to Africa, Mugume. Well, we need to go to East now. Yeah. East Africa, Mugume. We need to go to Uganda. Uganda, Mugume. It's Western Uganda. So it's literally like a map. And before you know it, you're back home. Mm. And so, you know, we could go into a massive, deeper conversation about how, like, certain people's maps have just been taken away because they no longer have their names anymore. Your name is your spirit. Like, you know, we know how important it is. And I guess those are some of the things I don't really value, like 5-6 years ago. I was just like, yeah, it's just my name. And, you know, it is what it is. But I think it's definitely something interesting to think about. That's why I always found it weird when I hear about Africans that come to the diaspora and they change their names to like European names.
I guess there's probably like, at least for them, a more practical reason for that, i.e. assimilation, cultural assimilation, and just wanting to just not stick out like a sore thumb. Or something as simple as like applying for a job. I don't want to be that black on paper, which is just unfortunate to throw away something so beautiful and so like.
Well, you're going to give them a shock when you turn up to the interview, aren't you?
At least you'll get to the interview. Some didn't make it that far.
You give them a right old shock, won't you?
Yeah. And even speaking of that, like that's one thing I really don't like. I remember when I started, I did like a couple shifts at this place a while ago. It was a restaurant, and I told one of the guys, oh, my name is Adefola. And when I say that, I don't ever say it correctly anyway. It's like, Adefola is my name with an English accent, so be grateful that I gave you that. I said, my name is Adefola. He goes, oh, do you shorten it? And I was like, no. He goes, oh, Addy. I said, did I even say Addy?
Oh my God.
Who the hell is Addy?
He was really trying to give you a British name. Not even like, Addy. Addy.
The sheer disrespect in trying to shorten my name. And I've had it so many times in my life. I never forget my science teacher in year seven, I remember I was at the back of the room. She asked me my name. I said, Adefola. And she goes, do you have a short name? Do you have a short, what's it called? A nickname. And I said, no, I don't.
I say,
call me Adefola. It's the least you could do. You know, so yeah, names are important. And I think if I have children, I will definitely make sure that they know your name is important. Like, don't let anyone call you what they want to call you. Like, walk in the power that your name holds, because that's just so, it's just so valuable.
Honestly, like, if that's your name, that is your name. And or also correcting people, like, sometimes people will butcher your name. Like, even mine, I, like you said, I don't say my surname correctly. My surname is not Mugume. Like, it's just how I like to say it. And it gets on my nerves when I meet Ugandans and they're like, that's not how you pronounce it.
Oh, I hate that.
Thank you so much. Thank
it's
you
like,
so much.
I know. You know, I'm very aware.
Like, but people will say Magume, Miss Magume. I'm like, okay, that's what we're not gonna do right now. Okay, when my name is Mugume, like that's how you actually Mugume. Like Mugume means be strong.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, man.
See, and it's like even with pronouncing names, what I've realized is if there's a name that doesn't look English to you, don't use English pronunciations for the part. Like, no. It's just not how you're gonna, like, it's not an English name. The E is not silent. You pronounce the E.
Babe, there was a guy in my Spanish class I would never forget. We were doing Spanish, and you know when you're learning a new language, you try to put a bit of the accent on.
Yeah.
You know, hola, me llamo, Joyce, whatever. Who's that? Hola, me llamo, Freddy.
And I'm like, Freddie.
I just said,
Freddie.
Sorry. You're not even going to try at all.
You can't speak
a different language.
You can't just speak a different language in an English accent.
They actually, that's what they want to do.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's not. Very
ridiculous.
What can you do? What can you do? And the funny thing is, if someone was to come here and speak English in their accent, they'll be like, oh, they're not learned, they're not educated.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's like, it's actually really messed up when you think about like the westernization and Americanization of the world. And because you have an accent, that somehow equates you not being learned.
Yeah, and to be fair, the accent is evidence that you've actually got more than one tongue. As in, I can speak more languages than you. That's why one accent is blending into the other. So if anything, be jealous of that. Don't be looking down on me. So yeah, that's what I have to round off. If someone's got an accent, it's because they can speak more than one language and you probably can't. So shut your mouth.
Shout out to all those bilingual people out there.
I'm telling you, oh, I wish I was bilingual.
But you can change that today.
I know, everyone always says that. And it's so true. It's just not at the top of my list. Despite how much I want to do it, there's other things I want to do first. So I'm gonna get around to it eventually. Yeah.
Ah, guys, we thought this was gonna be a minisode, but God said no.
And that's okay with us.
He multiplied. Wasn't it us that started saying we don't know where to go? And God said, what?
So I'm gonna take you somewhere. Just hold on now.
Oh man. But guys, we really hope you enjoyed this episode. And yeah, we just hope you have a good week ahead. It's been your girl Joyce.
And it's been me, Adafala. Bye guys.